Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk here on, this beautiful, well, actually it's getting cloudy now, April 17th morning. It's kind of brisk. It's, high 40, something like that. This is actually what we're supposed to be getting this time of year, not that teaser that we've been having for a couple of weeks, which I was telling Derek how much I liked it. The trees are all budded out and the flowers are up and the bushes are budded out, but still, we're supposed to get some snow next week, so who knows? So let's see what we got going today. We have got, the Michigan gun shows for today. We got a bunch. The Taylortown Gun Show, the Kingsley, that's in Taylor, Michigan. That's on Ecorse Road. Ecorse Road. The Kingsley Sportsman's Club in Kingsley, Michigan. The Gaylord 2-day gun show at the Ellison Place in Gaylord. Now, if you're going to the Kalamazoo show, they canceled it. So, I don't know. Must be the COVID, you know. Let's see. Then we've got, what was that name that they were using for it that sounded the COVID? There was a name that they were using for it that I thought was so stupid that, you know, they start talking about the, you know, they give these little pet names to things. But, we sure have numbers that are going up despite all the mask things and stuff. What the heck's going on? Let's see. We have got the Glenmont Gun Show at the Glenmont Old School Building. Nope, this is in Ohio now. Glenmont, Ohio. We have got the Ashtabula Fairgrounds Show. They canceled that for today. I don't know. They canceled one Ohio one, but they still got 8 or 9 more. It's like amazing compared to our handful. The Jefferson County Fairgrounds Show. Let's see. Oh, actually, you know what's interesting? Let's see. Ashtabula, Jefferson County. Oh, they have one. They changed the name of it or something. So at any rate, it's if you're going to Ashtabula, check it out, okay? Let's see, the Lancaster Special Ops Gun Show in Lancaster, Ohio, Lowellville Gun Show at the Lowellville Rod and Gun Club, the Medina County Fairgrounds Medina Gun Show, the Stateline Gun Show, and the, the Lake County Gun Show in Painesville, Ohio, and the Sharonville gun show at the convention center in Sharonville. Holy cow. I got to say, folks, that's 3-1 Ohio versus Michigan. And I don't like that to happen. Okay. So we need to get going with some more Michigan gun shows here. They've even got 3 in Missouri. They've got the Ashland gun show at Copper Kettle, at the Copper Kettle in Ashland, Missouri, the Blue Eagle CLP Gun and Knife Show at the Elks Lodge in Harrisonville, and the Independence Gun Show at the American Legion Post. And unfortunately for New York, they had one scheduled, the Syracuse Gun Show at the New York State Fairgrounds, but they canceled it. So probably because it's a state fairgrounds and you can't have guns there. You know how that is. Let's see. We're still sitting at 735,554 CPLs, which is up, I want to say, about, let's see, how many months is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In the last 8 months, we're up about 75,000. So that's not bad. We could do better than that, though, especially we still have 10,800 pending. And again, each month as we have people expiring, we had, how many more, about 13,000, expire and 10,000 new ones. And we still went up by 10,000. So I want to say, we're certainly, keeping ahead of the curve and gaining as the whole country is. But I don't know why. I would like to know more about the expired ones, and I haven't been able to find out more about that. Let's see. I want to mention that the Tri-County Sportsman's League is having a pistol caliber carbine and carbine and 22 rifle pin shoot tomorrow from 12 to 5. Now, they had a pin shoot last week, which was pistol or 22 pistols, but and any pistols last week. But it was pretty crappy weather on, you know, cold and rainy on Sunday. But tomorrow is supposed to be, you know, partly sunny and decent. So from 12 to 5 tomorrow at Tri-County Sportsman's League. And that is, I want to say it's fun. It's like bookshelves, although they're not really, they don't have a back behind them. They got like shelving up. And you run group of them for $5. It's 20 pins. There's 5 pins times 4 tables worth for $5. And it's a lot of fun. And you get the satisfaction of having the best time or the worst time. You know, I actually, the last time I shot it was a year ago or so. And I was out there doing something else. And Jim Walters, one of the guys, said, Dick, you want to shoot? And I go, I don't have my stuff with me. He goes, oh, you can use my gun. Okay. So I used a 10-22 that, or not a 10-22, is a Ruger Mark II that he had, and I was able to do pretty well. Actually, I did very well my first table, and then got consecutively worse with it. I think I was overthinking it. You know what I mean? So, speaking of 22s, we've got Federal Premium has come out with a new 22 called the Punch, the Federal Premium Punch 22 long rifle. And it is an interesting phenomenon going on here where they are acknowledging that people are using 22 long rifle in self-defense. So they are actually loading them special with special powders, and they're loading them with different actual projectiles that, like, this is a 29 grain lead core bullet with a nickel plating on it. Oh, well, that seems weird. And it's a hollow point plating. And it I want to say it, and the whole idea, it's also nickel plated cases. So what they're trying to do is have, for people who carry, and especially there's more and more, I think it was, what did they call it? The light rack. Ruger came out with a 22, kind of like the LCP, but they call it a light rack, which is because it's got a very easy slide to rack. And of course, you got a magazine. And one of the things with 22s, you know, is sometimes the rounds have lubricant on them. Sometimes they're copper washed. Sometimes they're just plain soft lead. Well, this whole idea of trying to nickel plate the projectile as well as nickel plate the brass cartridge turns into a round that'll slide much easier up and down in the magazine. So they're trying to go for reliability, and they're trying to go for good storage so that you don't have like a little bit of lead corrosion and stuff like that on it. So it's specially formulated powder to achieve. And it, by the way, they designed it for a 2-inch barrel. So that's a snub-nosed 22 revolver, or maybe a short-barreled, 22 semi-automatic, like that new light rack. And, or even like the Ruger, what is it called, SRP, it's some of the small, Walther makes one like that too, that are like small barrels, short barrels. And it's specially formulated powder blend to achieve 1,070 feet per second in a 2-inch barrel. So that's pretty good. And actually, if you fire it through a rifle, it increases to 1,600 feet per second, 1,650. So interesting what the manufacturers are doing. Now, by the way, it's their Federal Premium 22 long rifle punch, and it's sold in boxes of 50 with a suggested retail price of $9.99. Well, that's about what you would have been a couple of years ago. You would have paid for 9mm. Now you're going to pay it for 50 22s. But I guess, again, if you're not going to be shooting that and plinking that a lot at the range, so it won't be so bad as far as if you're using it for self-defense. Let's see. I had mentioned last week, I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago, there's a article that I like. The Truth About Guns, that talked about things that don't suck, okay? And there was a little flashlight that I liked, and I naturally ordered it. It's called Olight I3T EOS, and I'm sitting here holding it and playing with it right now, and it's a single double or triple A battery, and it is perfect size for more like dress pants and things like that, or even shorts and things like that. I usually carry, and I have in my pocket my big Phoenix PD. PD 25, which is an outstanding, like a 500 lumen flashlight, but it's fat. Okay, it takes those CR123s, and this just imagine the difference between it's about 3/4 of an inch round versus half an inch round, quite a bit or even less, quite a bit. Smaller, and it's a nice flashlight. And so I thought, I got to talk about that. And I think I did a couple weeks ago, and I actually bought two of them. I'm going to give one to my son today, who he doesn't know it yet, probably isn't listening, so because he's got little kids in there at soccer this morning. God, I remember those days of out in early or mid-April, and it's chilly and cold, and the kids are out running around, and you're trying to stay warm with a cup of coffee. So he's out doing that right now, so he's not listening to the show. So he's going to get his this afternoon. Then the other thing is that I was reading this week, and Olight has a new mini gun, a mini weapon light with a laser. And I thought, wow, that sounds good. And they're imported, as many of these inexpensive electronics are from China or someplace else. And they came out with this new Olight. It's called a BALDR RL mini weapons light with a laser sight. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We've got Tom from Northfield Township on the phone about the 22 punch. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Dick. I'm fine. I heard you talking about the 22 punch, and I have been looking at that and trying to find some, and I haven't been able to do it, but I've been chomping at the bit to get my hands on some of those.
Yep. We'll both have to. I'll look for it, too. And if I can find some, I'll order it up, or I'll go find it somewhere else.
Just give me a heads up where you got it from, and I'll order some.
Okay.
Because I want some. But my friend who called in, Bill from Northville,
yeah,
he bought a Glock 44 in 22.
Okay.
Long rifle.
So then he would want some of that that would be an outstanding round for that, because it could be useful as a self-defense ammo in a light recoiling gun.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great?
He got that as a beginner handgun for himself, and he might use that with his family to, help him out, with it. But, and then he's planning on when the weather gets better, he wants to come over to my place and do some shooting, and we'll, go through his gun and I'll show him different things to do with it, how to clean it, how to maintain it, and, and the magazines and things like that. But, I would just love to get my hands on some 22 punch in that caliber because, one, it's nickel plated, which is really great, but, like you were saying, that thing's got good velocity out of a 2-inch barrel 22.
Yeah, I think it is the industry recognizing that some people are looking at 22 pistols as a viable either at least as a backup gun, but in some cases as a primary. So I think that it's kind of cool. I'll bet others will follow too.
I think so, and primarily I'm figuring that women are going to be the main carriers of, you know, a 22 as a defensive round, and it is as the test we did. I mean, it shows that 22 cal can be an effective defensive round.
I know. You know, I smell another test coming along here. If we can get some more of these things, don't you?
Oh yeah. Geez, I'm waiting for some different bullets to come out. I'm chomping at the bit to get a hold of a 22 punch. And there's some other bullets. The new Winchester, you know, that they have out.
Yeah.
It's the what the heck you call that thing? It comes in a red box. I forget what it is.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and they have the red initiator. I called in before about that.
Yeah,
it was advertised it's on the back of the American Hornady Rifleman.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Hornady Critical Defense in that it's got an initiator in it. It's a lot of people are taking. You know, I think they're looking at your bullet test and going, hey, we got to do well so that Tom's test shows that we do well. So
I would not be surprised if the companies haven't, you know, the ammunition companies haven't been listening to your show and then maybe saying, you know what, you know, they're testing these things out and they're not working. Maybe we better step it up a bit.
Yeah. Do you know, I did get an email from somebody. It's actually a comment on the website where a guy asked about, what is this ballistic dirt stuff? Is this some kind of poor man's ballistic gelatin? And I said, no,
yeah.
Au contraire. I said, actually, it is a very finely tuned proprietary mixture of sand and loam and moisture and stuff like that. And it works very well and it's reusable. So, and it actually mimics not only the ballistic gelatin, but you actually came up with a way to mimic shooting through bone too. And so I want to say maybe we're getting some secret listeners and watchers who are driving the industry. That's what we're trying to do here, right?
Yeah, so. He was right about one thing. I do it on the cheap, but it does. It duplicates the penetration. It's harder on the bullets, tends to clog them, and I found a material that simulated bone because, you know, bone's expensive to get a hold of, you know.
Yeah, I know. Of course, you have to eat ribs and steaks and T-bones and things like that. So
yeah, well, that's a good part about it. But
well, Tom, thanks for calling today. We'll keep in touch. And now that things are going to be lightening up COVID-wise, hopefully we'll be able to do some more testing and actually hopefully the ammunition supply will show up. I would like to do some revolver rounds and like the 44 Special, not the 44 Magnum. I know your system probably would not handle a 44 Magnum round, but it will hold a 44 about, Special.
Yeah, about 10 millimeter is about what I'm set up for, you know, on a max on that, you know, something, you know, if it isn't over 700 or 800 foot-pounds of energy, then, you know, I can handle that. Otherwise, I'd have to get a bigger container and mix up more mixture and things like that.
Very good, Tom. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks for calling today. Bye-bye. We've got Russ from Ann Arbor with a phone call comment about a CPL course. Hi, Russ. How are you?
Hi, Dick. I'm great. You put Tom and Dick, a GM and a Ford engineer together, and they'll figure out something. I've always enjoyed that. I have to sing the praises of the Michigan CPL Academy. My firearm interest is all your fault, is Trigger Talk Radio over the years. And I've been looking to take a CPL class, but I'm in and out of town. And so it's been over a year, and I found one. And so last Sunday, I went to Jason Smith. He's a conservation officer, and he held a class, and it was fantastic.
Really? Now, where was this?
It was south of Brighton. He does the classes at his home in the basement. He has it okay. set up like a classroom. Even has an area for no firing, but simulation handling, handling a pistol. He has all kinds of different things, but the and we even had a visit from the local United States Concealed Carry Association. He came in and gave a 10-minute talk. Extremely informative. I think we were in lecture for 5.5 hours, and then we went out to a pit that he uses as a range, and he had specific drills for us to do. And I learned so much that day. And it was
well, you
just,
know, when it's taught by a good instructor, when it's taught by a good instructor, it's all about, matter of fact, I like going and listening to other people to hear the way they are doing it. And, it's all about, learning and about when, you know, it's not about technique and being super accurate. It's about when you can shoot, when you can't shoot, you know, all the legal ramifications, everything. It's an amazing day, isn't it?
Let me tell you, Dick, I learned one thing. It was do not shoot anybody, okay? do not shoot somebody in case you, unless you absolutely have to. But it was mostly just beaten into us. If you don't have to fire your firearm, do not do it. Nothing good comes of it, and you'll it'll cost you a lot of money, even if it's a you're correct in all manners. So
yeah, it has to be the last resort, and it's in when you are imminently in fear of your life, great bodily injury, or sexual assault. So it's and a lot of people don't understand that they that's where all the people when they're out there against people carrying and CPLs and stuff like that, they don't get it. These are the good guys. These are the people that are taking the training, and they want to just be able to, you know, be law-abiding citizen, and they don't shoot to, they don't go out because they want to shoot somebody. You get a CPL because you don't want to get shot by somebody else. So
correct. Anyhow, he was not aware of your show or of Tom's ballistic tests, so I turned him on to both. So hopefully he's listening today. And it's MichiganCPLAcademy.com.
MichiganCPLAcademy.com.
Yep.
Okay. All one word.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And very good. Thank you, Russ. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate, I look forward to Saturdays at 11 o'clock. I drop everything to listen to you. So
thank you so much, Russ. I appreciate it. For years, you've been coming by to the remotes and things like that. Really appreciate it.
Well, you're my hero, you know, so it's just, you know, I'm a groupie, okay?
Okay, thank you, sir. We've got, quickly, Ed from Ypsilanti.
Geez, wish I had listeners like that. Hey, speaking of CPLs, my wife, my beautiful wife, was kind enough to apply for our CPLs about midnight of the 4th, and the letter back from Lawrence Kestenbaum, County Clerk, Register of Deeds, the letter was dated the 8th. So basically, effectively, he got it Monday morning on the 5th, and the permit, he sent it out on the 8th. You know when it arrived? It arrived on the 14th. It took longer in the U.S. mail than for them to process our CPL.
They're
all done
doing
online.
Super well in that. I got to say, they are doing super well. I think it's the individual counties and stuff, like especially Wayne County and stuff, that are holding things up.
But, well, I don't know if you have to go in person in Wayne County to renew. I don't know. But, I mean, who thought People's Republic of Ann Arbor? Well done.
Yep, very good. Very good.
All right, talk to you later.
Thanks for the call, Ed. And everybody, Ed's got a great show on this afternoon. It's on at 1 o'clock. And, Ed's show and Pastor Rick's show and everybody. We're a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun on Wham, don't we? Yep. Well, thanks, Ed, for calling. And Let's see. We've got 10 seconds left. So this is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1692.7 FM radio here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'll be back in a minute.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And I was starting to get into a discussion about an Olight BALDR-RL mini weapons light and laser sight. And I want to say it is a small, and it's made to be more on some of these subcompact guns. Like I'm just thinking like on your SIG P365 or your new, what is it, the new Max 9, the new Ruger Max 9, or my XDS, or some of the other ones like that. I don't know. I think my LCP, I already have a laser on my LCP. Just put new batteries in it, and I have to do that about every 2 years. I have to put new batteries in it, because I don't, you know, you're not drawing it out of the holster very often, so the laser doesn't come on. That's that cool, they call it a Viridian reactor that reacts when you pull it out and turns itself on. Well, this one actually has switches on it, but it's got, I want to say, it's very small, it's narrow, so it won't be any more, any wider than, and that's one of the problems with some of my other weapons lights on the guns. They actually take two CR123 batteries and they're side by side, so it's actually pretty wide on a even on a 45, okay? But this is very thin, so it's narrow. Now, you're going to have to, if you have a holster, which you should have if you're carrying one of the small any gun, whether it's inside the waistband, outside the waistband, or in the pocket, you can get holsters that have like relief in the front for weapons lights. And this thing is so cool. It's got a, how many lumens is it? It's like 500 lumens. Let me see it again. But here's one of the things that I found very interesting about it. It has a recharge port on the top, so you're not having to buy batteries for it, okay? And like so many things these days, it uses what hooks up from a USB, like from like you do a cell phone or something like that, but then it's a magnetized set of contacts on the top that you just take this little... I guess they call it like a dongle or something. I know that's a weird word, but dongle. And it magnetically holds to it and it charges it, okay? So that you can do it without even having to take it off the firearm. You can take a, you could, and by the way, it recharges in an hour, okay? Zero takes an hour and it has a maximum runtime of 40 minutes of continuous use. So if you've got it on a carry gun, now see, I've got some of my weapons lights on guns that are in safe places for nighttime and stuff like that. And you don't take them out very often. But if it's a carry gun, you're taking it out every day. Okay. So every week, maybe you plonk it down and you leave it plugged in for 40 minutes and boom, or for an hour, and you've got a completely charged up system again. It's a 600 lumen light, okay? 600, not 500, 600. That is an extraordinary amount of light out of a small, very small device. And so I want to say what's interesting, they have it with a red laser, and they also have it with a green laser. Now, the only difference is $20. The red light version is $20 less than the green light version, which the green light would be better during the day, and I would probably get that. The MSRP for it is $109.95. But do you know what I'm seeing right now? And this is a ad from today, I think it was, that it says if you buy it before midnight tonight, it's $87.96. Now, I haven't checked that price out yet. Let's see. Can I do a, I don't know if I can, let's see. I'll see where it's at. Control link, And let's see what it pulls up. But the point is that it's under $90 for a 600 lumen light, and it that has a laser built into it. I can't think of any too much of a better way to add a light to your weapon system to be able to add that capability for nighttime. Okay, so at any rate, let's see. Now it's going to switch. I was reading about a gun control billboard that popped up in Boulder with an idiotic message. It made me laugh, and it talks about, you know, it's one of these things where they put up this billboard, and everything that they talk about on it, they talk, it makes the case both ways. So it's kind of stupid. They put up a bulletin board, and it says this, okay? This is out in Boulder, Colorado, which, by the way, gosh, what a coincidence that there's so many shootings all of a sudden now that they're all trying to institute and implement gun control. It almost seems like it's what a coincidence. I don't know. Do you believe in coincidences where in like the last 2 weeks there's been four mass shootings when we haven't had four mass shootings for the whole last year? Okay. Now, they have a lot of shootings in Chicago and Philadelphia and stuff like that, but I'm talking like these ones in Boulder and Indianapolis just the other day. Was that yesterday or the day before when the guy at the FedEx place in Indianapolis. By the way, virtually every single one of these cases has people that you hear, like this one at the Indianapolis FedEx place. Yes, local police and the FBI were aware of this guy. What? You're going to go out and make a big deal about red flag laws and stuff when this, like the Boulder, Colorado guy who was the friend of an ISIS member, okay, like the guy in Indianapolis whose mother last year called and called the police and called the FBI and said, you know, my son, I'm really worried about him. I think he's going to try to commit suicide by cop. He's going to do something. And they had him on they were aware of him, okay? Well, how much more red flag do you have to get than that? And you have the ability you don't need another law for law enforcement to step in and interview the guy and stuff like that. And now maybe he was like the guy in California that BS'd his way out of it. But at any rate, all of a sudden we've got a ton of these things going on, and I don't believe in coincidences. Okay. And maybe it's because these people that are doing suicide by cop see it as a red light and a way, you know, a green light to go ahead and do it. And then maybe I'll be the one who will finally get something done. You know what I mean? They'll be a martyr, you know? I don't know. So at any rate, here's this billboard in Boulder, Colorado. Imagine highways using traffic laws written in 1791. Imagine radio, television, and internet governed by regulations written in 1791. Imagine limiting yourself to medical care available in 1791. And then it says, the Second Amendment was written in 1791. Thoughts and prayers are not enough. Okay, so how do we look at that? Well, I want to say radio, television, and internet governed by regulations. That's called free speech, except for the FCC kind of stuff. Let's say, and you're going to tell me we've got this, the Second Amendment was written in 1791. However, there are 20,000 individual gun laws in the United States concerning them. Every little Michigan law, every little other state law, those are all laws that are governing the Second Amendment. Now, by the way, that's the same thing that people go, well, one of these idiots, one of the idiots that was a politician this last week said, yeah, the Second Amendment was written when you used to pour powder down a tube and stamp it down and put a bullet in it. They had no idea that you would have rounds that were, guns that would fire X number of rounds per minute, okay? Well, you know what? When it was written, it governed or was specifically written. Of course, it's an exclusionary thing where it says that the government cannot infringe on the rights. It doesn't say you are allowed to do something. It says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And it was written with the full knowledge of the guns that they were using being frontline, military-grade, state-of-the-art guns. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a thing this week that said, do you know that in 1791, when they wrote the Second Amendment, that they actually, the government and the military had bids out on a repeating rifle that repeated and held 20 rounds. So, yes, they knew exactly what they were talking about. Okay, but they're trying to make this kind of thing like, well, we should change the Second Amendment because, you know, things have changed now. And imagine traffic laws written in 1771 if we still had to follow them. They didn't have automobiles and 80,000-pound semi-tractor trailers and stuff like that back then. Okay? Imagine yourself limited to medical care available in 1791. Yeah, they were bloodletting and using leeches to do medical care. Things have changed, okay? But they've changed for the better. And by the way, you still, the same thing about the internet and stuff, if you want to talk about these things, then you got to go, well, if you're really trying to say, well, they meant muskets, that you could only use muskets even now, you know, hundreds of years later, well, then I guess that you can only use quill pens and Gutenberg presses, okay? And none of this internet stuff, we ought to be getting rid of that. No, don't get rid of that. Then you can't listen to Trigger Talk Radio on the radio. Or you can't go to my website and see the neat stuff that we post, like our ballistic tests that Tom from Northfield Township and I do. Okay? Oh, here's an interesting story I was reading. Chicago's using a thing called ShotSpotter. And they've used it around the country. It's supposed to be a law enforcement tool. And it's supposed to be used where a shot, when it is sounded and picked up by when a round or gun is fired and this shot spotter picks up the sound, it relays to the police that it alerts them when a shot is fired, allowing them to respond even if no one calls the police, which I'm of the understanding that if anybody's seen it, there was another one of these shootings where there was a 13-year-old who shot. By the way, he was a 13-year-old who had previously been in trouble for her gun charges. 13-year-old. Gee, we need a law that says a 13-year-old can't buy a gun. The 13-year-old didn't buy a gun, you dumb S's. The thing is that this guy had a gun, and the cops were chasing him. And you can see the gun in his hand in the video. And then he drops it behind a fence and he turns around and the guy thought that he still had it and he shot. One shot, boom, gone. Okay. You know, the one thing we forget is all of these guys that are being shot and stuff, they're all resisting arrest. They're all felons, or in this case, a 13-year-old with a previous gun charge. Okay. Do you know what it reminds me of? I was talking to a friend of mine, John from Danville, this week, and we were laughing so hard. If anybody haven't seen this, and I've talked about it every couple of years, there is a video, if they haven't pulled it down from YouTube, and it is done by the comedian Chris Rock. And it's called How to Not Get Your Beep Kicked by the Police, okay? And the thing is that it is funny. And the thing he says, the first thing he says on this video on how to not get your kicked by the police is, first, obey the law. You're probably not going to get your beep kicked by the police if you're obeying the law, okay? which includes what is it where, and by the way, this goes into this, you will watch this video. If you haven't heard me talk about it before, look it up. Chris Rock, how not to get your beep kicked by the police video. You will be crying because you're laughing so hard. Okay. And it's got things about, you know, when the cops stop you, you know, keep your hands at 10 and 2 and politely ask the officer what they, you know, yes, officer, what do you need? You don't get out of the car and start yelling at the, you know, what the blah, blah, blah. You know, I want to say, and the whole scenarios are just amazing. So you gotta watch it. It's great. Well, ShotSpotter is being used in Chicago. And the problem is that it's not that accurate. Now, it's kind of based off of, I got to say, though, I know it's got more accuracy because I worked on a program that had it. There's a military device called Boomerang, which does a similar thing, where they can tell where a sniper shot's coming from and stuff like that. Okay, it's called Boomerang. Well, so this is a civilian or a police kind of version called ShotSpotter. And they were, they actually, it's funny because they were in California and they were in a trial and they said, well, ShotSpotter claims 97% accuracy. And then it kind of, there was some instances where they found out it wasn't very accurate. And when they asked the company's guarantee of accuracy, he stated, this is the guy, the owner, he goes, our guarantee was put together by our sales and marketing department, not our engineers. So yeah, I got it. So 97%, well, actually, they went through and they did some field testing on it. And they found out that 85.35% of the time, there was no case report being filed. So what happened was 85% of the time that it pinged on something and said that there was a shot, the cops were dispatched and they found out that there was nothing that took place. Okay, so here's the problem now. As also at play is the fact that ShotSpotter is only set up in low-income Black and Hispanic communities. What? That doesn't sound right. Well, of course, in fairness, those neighborhoods happen to be the ones where most of the shootings happen, not the wealthier white neighborhoods. Uh-oh, there's a problem. These systems aren't cheap. They said the problem with this is that these systems aren't cheap, so deploying them where there is little need makes no sense. Yet not doing so is branded as racist. So, oh, yeah, okay, well, let's put, and I would say that let's put one in Ann Arbor. You know, we don't have much there, except yesterday afternoon, we had a shooting at Briarwood Mall here in Ann Arbor. First, they said it was in the mall. Then it was turns out it was either outside the mall. Then it turns out it wasn't. The police chief said, well, this was not a random act. This was somebody, and we'll get the story. It'll come out. They'll probably be underage, but so we may not get names. But the point is that it was somebody who was mad and went looking for somebody. Okay? So you put these things where they need them. You put them in Chicago. You put them in Philadelphia. I want to say you don't necessarily have to have them in Detroit because Detroit's trying to do a good job there of their own. Is it? I keep getting it wrong. Is it? It's Chief Craig, right, Derek? Yeah, Chief Craig from Detroit is outstanding. By the way, if you didn't hear, Rashida Tlaib made a comment this week about all these shootings by the cops. This shows we need to abolish all policing. And Chief Craig stood up and goes, what an absolutely asinine thing that is to say. So good for him. He did a great job. So at any rate, what else have we got here today? There's, let's see. There's all sorts of things going on. Biden's pushing more assault weapons bans. Actually, there was a bunch of Bob Menendez and Diane DeGette of Colorado and Tom Deutsch of Florida and Dinah Tettis of Nevada. They all came out and they wrote a ban, put a bill out yesterday that for magazines holding more than 10 rounds would be banned. What? 10 rounds. Yep, that's it. And by the way, you can't have... They want to do... The legislation also would authorize a high-capacity magazine buyback program. Require any high-capacity magazines manufactured after the bill is enacted to have a conspicuous serial number and date of manufacture printed on it. Okay, so how are there even some made if they're... Well, no, they're not going to do that. They're going to actually charge you for them. Because you know what? There's an article, I don't know if I actually put it on here, but the of interest is that when these... politicians realize that they don't really have a good way to or a leg to stand on to ban things outright and to take them away and stuff, then they do the next best thing. They tax them. They love them some money. Because if this was all about trying to save life, if we could only save just one life, it would be worth it. Then you wouldn't have cigarettes for sale anymore, would you? Oh, no, you wouldn't have cigarettes for sale. But you know, why do you think they're like $6 or $7 a pack or something? Because like $5 of it is taxes. Oh, well, those are sin taxes. That's to discourage people from smoking. Well, they'll tell you what, they're still smoking. But boy, they're paying an extra $5 a pack to you every single day or twice a week or however many they smoke because you love the money. And it's not about trying to save lives. Let's see what else we got here. Let's see. Brandon Scott. Oh, I don't even want to say that. Brandon Hull. He's the name of the guy who was shooting the people at FedEx. New Jersey governor announces more assaults on civil liberties. Oh, yeah. He's coming up. As if New Jersey isn't bad enough, they've got a bunch more things they want to do. They want to require mandatory firearm safety training for everybody. Not for everybody, just for people that want to buy guns legally. Now, if you're illegal and you're buying them or stealing them, you don't have to do that. You're exempt from it. But if you're going to buy it legally, you got to have mandatory firearm safety training. Okay. Mandatory safe storage of firearms. Owning a firearm for protection in the home can present a substantial obstacle to safe firearm storage, with individuals often opting to keep weapons loaded and easily accessible. See, they consider that a bad thing. I got news for you guys. That's the point. We're going to keep our guns loaded and easily accessible. Now, they got to be safe, especially when you got little ones around, okay? And you don't want the bad guys coming in and stealing them. But the whole point is to keep them loaded and easily accessible. And you guys consider that a problem. They also want to raise the minimum age of the long guns to 21. At the same time, they're trying to reduce the voting age to 16. Let's see. Establish electronic ammunition sales record keeping. Ban 50 caliber firearms. Okay, now, I got to say, when's the last time you heard of a 50 caliber firearm used in a crime? Like never? But boy, it sounds good, doesn't it? Nobody needs a 50 caliber. I have one. Mine's a 50 Beowulf, and I use it for hunting? Can you believe that? And it's in an AR platform? That can't be right. That can't be right. Also, closing a loophole for importing out-of-state firearms. What they're saying is individuals who moved to New Jersey from another state are allowed to bring their firearms in legally. We've got to close that loophole. Well, maybe I got an idea. Anybody who owns guns should not move to New Jersey. And if you own guns in New Jersey, you should get the heck out of there.